From the Fancy Lady Cowgirl headquarters, welcome to the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to everyone who embodies the cowgirl or cowboy spirit, regardless of what you wear or where you live. The guests on this show are a little fancy, a little ranchy, and they all have a kick-ass story to tell. I'm your host, Courtney Dehoff. Join me for the ride. Well, welcome to another episode of the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. I am really fired up for our guest today because, and I said it when I messaged her, she's kind of like an ass kicker. She's a badass. I'm excited to learn more about what she does. Amber Landry is joining me. You may know her as Amber L on Instagram, but Amber and I, our platforms have a lot of things in common. There's a lot of crossover. I think when you first look at it, maybe not, but the more I've dug in, I've really sort of just been into this mama bear mentality that she has going on. So Amber is like super cool. All right. She's the Fancy Lady Cowgirl behind, as I mentioned, this mama bear mentality, which by the way, isn't just for mamas. We're going to talk about that. She's the director of Family and Female Preparedness for Fieldcraft Survival. And their mission is to educate, train, and equip you to survive worst case scenarios, which I think so many of us don't ever think about until we are in said worst case scenario. So Amber, hello, welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. I'm so excited to be here.
This is so fun. Okay, I've done some research, but I want you to sort of just start at the beginning because when it comes to fieldcraft survival, for example, I'm sort of doing my research and I'm like, okay, like I feel like I know these guys, right? Because I have an acquaintance, we'll call him, who is sort of in this line of work. Like we're talking heavy hitters, you know, former special ops guys, police officers, army, I mean, all the things. And it's like all these like buff, just like killer dudes, right? And then there's you, there's this like, I've never seen you in real life, but you look quite tiny, this little like fancy lady cowgirl doing stuff. And so I gotta know, first of all, how did you get into sort of this survival preparedness thing?
So I think that's everybody's first question when they meet me is like, how did you become this? And I was raised rural, just like you. And I mean, I live in Southwest Louisiana, which is the cone of uncertainty for every single hurricane, right? So natural disasters. And then our rural life just lends a lot to the need to be more prepared and self-reliant. And that's just how my dad raised us and my mom raised us. And so I've always had that mindset. I mean, I can remember my dad coming home from parent-teacher conferences and he'd be like, your ag teacher told me you taught all the boys how to change a tire. Good job. And so that was just our life. And I guess part of me tried to hide it a little bit or to try to fit in and be more relevant once I got to college. I wanted to be classy and I wanted to be, you know, a little more refined. And so I didn't talk about it as much. And then as I moved into motherhood, there became a need for it in a different way to raise my children and to have them be more self-reliant and to be prepared to take care of contingencies that happened with them, because it wasn't just about me anymore. Their lives, they were under my care. And so it started to show itself again, and maybe in a different light, but using all those skill sets that I had grown up with, really. And so in the last year, I just kind of transformed my Instagram to be more reflective of that. Didn't realize how much of a disparity there is out there in the market and what the need for that was for how to make this preparedness lifestyle relevant for the modern woman per se, and man too. I have men that follow me who don't resonate with the tactical stuff, but they resonate with, these things actually happen and I can actually be prepared for it. I don't have to have all these certifications and a body count like these other guys do. It can work for me in my life. And so that's just kind of how this has evolved. And it's been incredible, really.
I love that. And I think you really nailed it because you make it seem a little more accessible, right? Especially for a woman, as a female, following you on Instagram and sort of reading the tips and the tricks and the things that you're talking about, you make it feel more accessible. Because here's the thing, I'm very blessed. I've been able to train with former Delta Force guys. Like, I have access to that. But when I'm working with them, it's still like, yeah, y'all are like, they're professionals. They are professionals. 250, yeah. All muscle. Like, am I really going to be able to fight off an attacker? Like, I know you're saying I can, but, and I think that's what really appeals, what really is cool about you. And gosh, what a fancy lady cowgirl story. I hid the fact that I was a cowgirl for so long because I wanted to be a refined, fancy lady. I think our two stories just align so beautifully. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, so your title with Fieldcraft Survival is female preparedness. What does that mean? What is female preparedness? What should I be preparing for?
Yeah, so we have that under the umbrella of family preparedness. And females, when I first came into the company, they wanted everybody to train under the same umbrella in the same way. And Mike, the guy that owns our company, he's very good about saying, like, wearing full body armor and going out to a range is great and it looks good, but isn't relevant for your day-to-day life. And so because he had that mentality, once I came in, I was able to, along with some other amazing women in the company, speak to them in a way that was reflective of women to say, listen, our requirements and the needs that we have are very different than what you have. I normally, as a woman, as a mom, I have little distractions all around me. And so my precursor to taking care of myself and my level of situational awareness needs to be a lot more elevated than maybe somebody who's solely handling themselves with the most accurate of gun handling skills that exist today, right? And so, and then let's also take into effect that our brains are wired differently. Our response time may look different. The way, even as I've studied the psychology of attack and victimization in America specifically, the way that women are even attacked is very different from the way that men are attacked. Women are attacked in a way that normally puts them in a predatorial position, and men are attacked front on, like dueling, like battling it out. And so there's so many different layers to how our response looks different and how preparing for that response should look. And not to mention, like, I ain't putting a Glock 17 under this dress, you know, like, We need to find ways to tell these women how to be able to carry, still live the life they want to live. If you want to be a fashionista, you can still be a fashionista. You know, like, we have so many accounts out there trying to convince women, like, listen, wearing a tactical belt on jeans is, you just have to do it. And you just are going to have to change your entire wardrobe. I just refuse to accept this. We can make it. We can accommodate our lifestyle and accommodate who we are and fit it into this box of preparedness, not the other way around, if that makes sense.
No, and I think that you have absolutely hit it head on, because as a woman who has been told the things that you're talking about, like, you need to carry this kind of gun, you need to have it on your belt at all times, you need to have, you know, military grade pepper spray, it needs to be in a belt where you can easily access it. Here's what, you want to know what happens? I don't do any of it. Because right. I'm just like, no, that's not realistic for my lifestyle. I maybe don't feel comfortable, you know, having a weapon that's so big, it doesn't even fit in my hand on my person. And so I think for women, especially, what we do is we just don't do any of it. Let's talk a little bit about situational awareness. And I want to focus just on women specifically, just because this is the Cowgirl Problems podcast. I do have some great men that listen to this. I don't actually know if that's true, but I'm just hoping there's a man or two. But let's talk about situational awareness. What do you think the biggest mistake women make is when it comes to situational awareness? I think I know what one of mine might be, but I want to hear what you have noticed.
So it's very easy for women to become distracted. Just the way that men and women think mentally, men compartmentalize, women because of the synchrony between the left and right brain. So I have a bachelor's in science in nursing, by the way. So sometimes I get kind of nerdy with things, just laying that out there. But the way that women think, we have a constant flow back and forth between the left and the right brain. And so it's like a big mush. It's like a big emotional mix of feelings and facts and being in the moment. And so women think that they're distracted and in the moment, and they don't have the ability to see in a compartmentalized way like men. But it actually plays into the woman's benefit because they're better able to connect to humanity and read body language. What is the body saying? They're more in tune with those emotions. And so as you unteach yourself fear and anxiety and reteach yourself being present and using your intuition and being intuitive in the moment, you're able to transition those feelings of, I just think too much, or I'm too distracted, or I'm too busy. You can channel that and harness that into, no, I can understand humanity in a way men possibly can't, and I can use that to my advantage. That's a huge thing. But I will also say, especially being in the South, what I find with women is they don't want to appear rude whenever their intuition strikes. They feel it's like it's completely unsubstantiated. And you would be shocked at the amount of stories I get from women who on a daily basis who are encountered with threats. And they're just like, at 2 p.m. in the front parking space at Costco, somebody's not going to actually try to make me a victim. Like it was completely an unsubstantiated thought, but yet my intuition was telling me something was wrong. And so as women, you don't want to appear rude. You know, they're just going to go away. You have to get loud. If you feel threatened, you have to be sure that you create space between you and said person. And for me, my teaching is always, I value the sanctity of human life, all life. I carry a gun to protect life, but do I want to take a life? Absolutely not. I'm going to use situational awareness to try to create that distance and create that space. And, you know, the gun is the last resort, but I'm going to get loud. I'm going to make sure they know I see them. I'm aware of them. I may even say, hey, look, I have a gun and I will pull it out. My children are in this vehicle. Stay away from me. And it's not feeling like you're rude. It's feeling like you are worth protecting. You're worth defending, and it's okay if you get loud with people. There's actually a great a book on this, and it's called The Gift of Fear by Gavin De Becker. And he teaches you what true fear is and what intuition is. And at one point he says, this woman, you know, made a statement that somebody had called her. Do you cuss on this podcast?
Yeah, I've already cussed on this podcast, so go for it.
Okay. A guy had called her a bitch and she said, well, if it stands for boys, I'm taking control here, ooh, then I will gladly take the title. And I love that. And he says that you are not going to cause a good man to become a bad man by being rude, but you will cause a bad man to know that you're his perfect target by being, oof, complacent. Oof. I love that. It's true. And you know it, you know, like you're in the South. Mm-hmm. Women are just, they just want to be meek and sweet and kind a lot of times.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, Amber, part of it is how people like you and I were raised. We were raised in those rural communities to be kind and to be polite and to, you know, respect people sort of almost at all costs. And I think in situations like what we're talking about, you know, these life or death situations, I think sometimes that mentality, as you're saying, does not serve us well.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to think one of the areas that I notice myself, I catch myself not being maybe as aware as I should, is in the car, in parking lots, right? And Amber, I will tell you, I bought a new car, I don't know, a couple months ago, and this new vehicle, when you put it in park, the doors unlock. And I hate it. And I've Googled, I've gone to the dealer, and it's some I'm sure there's some master mechanic somewhere that could totally undo this for me. But I just haven't, you know, taken the steps to have it looked into. But my first thing is to always relock the doors because I feel like women are really good, really bad, AKA really bad, about sitting in the car, right? We got to find the grocery bags. We got to get the Target bags. Kids, I don't have kids, but I can only imagine with kids. You're trying to get the kids out. You're getting kids out of the car seat. Your back is to the parking lot. I live in a major city. And Amber, I have seen some SHIT go down in parking lots in broad daylight. I've seen people tased. I've seen cops pull guns. I mean, you really sort of have to pay attention.
Absolutely.
What are some other areas like sitting in the car that you notice women making really crucial mistakes when it comes to being aware of their surroundings?
Yeah, being in the car is a huge one, being in a parking lot. And there's a lot of issues with people being on their phone, their face is just in their phone. I love the phone as a reflective surface. If I need, I hold it up to see if somebody's behind me occasionally. I see a lot of people at night getting to stores and lingering around like the front entrance of stores. This is where stuff begins and where stuff ends, situations at the beginning of a store. So you got to get in and you got to get out. You don't want to linger. You want to be sure you're paying attention to the parking lot before you make your way to the car. Do you hear elevated noises? Are there lights? Do you hear lights? See lights, like cop lights? Obviously you avoid these scenarios. So that's a big one in stores, like at the front entrances of stores, in parking lots, just even driving by yourself and not taking into account putting your car in park at a drive-thru or somewhere and the door being unlocked. Gas stations is another big one. People are parked at gas stations. They have their doors unlocked because they just got out to get gas. They didn't lock them when they got back in. So the passenger door's unlocked. They're most likely on their phone, or they're standing next to the car as they're filling their tank up on their phone. Most people are waiting until they're on E. It's probably like 9:30 at night or 6 in the morning because you forgot to do it the night before or earlier that day. And so you're rushing to do it. There's such a variety of vulnerable places you can go, but I would say probably more so than the location of a place being vulnerable, it's your inability to step outside of your rush and your lack of awareness for that exact moment. It's not going to take more time for you to be aware. It's not going to necessarily make you late, but it's just that mentally, you're not in that moment. And I mean, that speaks to a myriad of issues we have, you know, with the busyness of our lives these days, but it takes away from your ability to be present and to protect yourself is that rushed mindset.
Very good. I want to get your opinion on this, specifically as a female, because as I mentioned, I mean, I have not had extensive training by any means, but I have had access to people who are just highly at the highest level in tune with threat. It's always about mitigating threat, mitigating threat, mitigating threat. And when I'm around these guys, there's a part of me that gets so overwhelmed because I need to carry a gun. I need to know self-defense. My car is my greatest weapon. I need to know all the license plates. I need to know if people are in the car. And it just sort of turns into this like, okay, wait, I'm not trying to become a part of like a special operation. Like I'm just trying to protect. It almost is overwhelming, Amber. And mm-hmm. So, and maybe this is just my personality. I sort of just like get overwhelmed and I'm like, well, I'm never going to know all the things. So I guess I just won't know any of the things. Yeah. Where is the best place to start? Like, do you need to go learn to carry a gun? Do you need to learn self-defense? Do you need to learn situational awareness? Do you need to learn how to get people off the X, as they call it? I mean, like all these things that they're throwing this lingo at me and I'm just like, I just leave.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I learn anything? I will say it has been beneficial. I mean, I do have a heightened awareness of things in certain situations, but at the same time, I'm kind of just like, man, I bet I'm failing so many of these. Where do people start?
Absolutely. I know. And there's so many layers to this. And I feel like it's split. The audience for this is split into people that gravitate towards it and want to be better at it. And then the people who actually split three ways, to be honest, the people that want to be better, the people that feel like it could fit into their life and that there's a void, but they don't know where to start. And so that overwhelm stops them. You know, the overwhelmed mind will always say no. And then you have the group of people who can't even mentally go to a place. Mm-hmm. Like the inoculation of fear is so overwhelming to them that it brings their vibrations too low and they cannot deal with it. And they just completely just form a chasm between you, who is presenting the information and trying to help them, and their ability to learn. And that my goal has always been to try to get this through with grace. Try to get this through in a way that is not inoculating fear. There's a time and a place to inoculate fear. Not in the introductory phase of trying to get somebody on board with this and to buy into the concept, right? That's more so in the training. And that's what we do up at Fieldcraft is we'll put people through scenarios where we inoculate them with a certain amount of fear, and they have to make a decision in the moment, because that is, that's what, where your training and where your success lies is in that training. But you have to get people to that place. They have to feel, they have to feel like this is applicable to them and that they're capable of it. And so where to start? I always suggest to people, sit down and do a self-evaluation. Tell me the moments when you felt vulnerable, because all of our lives are so very different, right? I live in a town of 10,000 people. So my vulnerabilities are going to be a lot different than your vulnerabilities. And it also depends on our daily habits. You know, I travel by myself a lot. I have friends who never travel by themselves. So my needs are going to be different than other people's needs. And then break that down into where you think you could be better in those moments. And then you start there in those places. We're actually creating, we've launched it. We launched it this weekend, but it's an online learning. It's an LMS, you know, a learning management system we're using to build it, but it's an online learning platform where we're taking our courses that we offer in person in our trainings, and we're breaking them down into online courses for people to do wherever. It's like bringing training home. And that is our goal, is trying to reach a greater audience and create leaders within the home. People who aren't going to be scared to say, okay, you know what, this is overwhelming, but I'm going to learn it. I'm going to engage with it. I'm going to digest it and break it down. And then I will then implement it into our family, teach the children, teach other people. And then it spreads like ripples from there. For me, and for a lot of the women I work with who are mothers, it's introducing this to their children. And it has to be done in such an elementary manner through games. And it has to be made fun, because we don't want these children to walk around fearful. And so we're doing it in a way where we're more so embedding it into their life and creating a lifestyle of this, versus let's add these like really harsh, rash, these are in such contrast to the way we normally live our life, practices that are going to feel stressful and everybody's scared and crying and they're never going to work. And so we never actually do them. No, we do it in a way that it's games. You know, you take them into a restaurant and you're engaging with them. You're like, okay, listen, don't look behind you, but I want you to try to use your mind and remember who's at the table behind you. How many people are at the table behind you? What are they wearing? And just training them to try to be in tune to their surroundings. And it's multifaceted. You're engaging more with your children. You're paying attention more to your children. You're seeing where their strengths lie. And so then it transitions into them being more situationally aware and protecting themselves, right? But I've seen in the mothers who are doing this and implementing this in their children that they are so much more capable and competent, because they did it in a way that was really bite-sized and not overwhelming and not scary. And then they taught it. And then teaching other people, it really solidifies your own understanding of it. And so, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's hard to answer that question for people, because I just want to hand them a pamphlet that's like page one. Mm-hmm. This is what you will do today. You know, like 365 days to become the most prepared woman on the planet. That actually, I should write a book.
You really should. You should get on that. I'm going to add just straight gasoline to this already fire, right, of self-protection and vulnerability. Let's talk about social media, because I'm guilty. I will raise my hand and say, I am guilty. Oh, boom. Tag the location. This is where I am right now. All 70,000 of my followers now know where I am in this moment. It's hard. Because, and you're the same way, we're very active on social media, our brands, our businesses, like social media is how I work. You know, it's how I get my speaking gigs, how I get my jobs and things. But as my following has grown, I have sort of had to ask friends like, hey, don't tag me in that. Or hey, take the locator off that. Not that I've ever knocked on a lot of wood. I have not had an issue, but there will be a day when there will be an issue. I've had people send messages that say things like, hey, saw you at the airport today. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. That's a little creepy. You know, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Harmless, I think, but I don't know. How do we navigate? How do we navigate that? Safety, vulnerability, and social media.
Yeah. I think it also becomes, such a natural thing for us to share, that there's instances where we don't even think, oh, this could be detrimental to our immediate security. But I think that you just have to be conscious about using your own personal discernment. And that goes with a basics of situational awareness and learning to listen to your intuition to know when something's appropriate and when it's not, and creating boundaries, very solid boundaries that we stick to, mm-hmm. that are our rules for ourselves, you know, because for you, I'm sure you're a lot of times with other people. And so when you think about it, you're like, it's not just me at risk. It's my friends and people that I love or my family. And for me, a lot of times it's my children, you know, I'll do a lot of like posting after the fact once I'm gone and safely away from that place. But it's, for me, it's obvious when I'm in Utah working, people are tagging me and stuff, or I'm posting, like, it's obvious I'm in Utah. My time is kind of split. I'm either in Louisiana or I'm in Utah at this point. And people know where Fieldcraft is in Utah because it's public knowledge. And so it's like, that's not something I can fully eliminate. You know, like if somebody really wanted to target me, they could figure out when classes were that I was teaching, where I was. And so that also comes into play is your situational awareness and being in the moment and understanding that you are a public figure and people recognize you. And so your protection is your job, and you have to be on the lookout for that. And you have to be listening to those markers or those messengers of fear, of true fear, mm-hmm. and knowing what to do in those circumstances, like having solutions for you. And that stems into the discussion we were having about, you know, your friends who are like, the exits are here. Did you see all the exits when you walked in? Which way are you facing? Which way is your back facing? Do you know your route out of here? Do you have an alternate route out of here? Do you have a pace plan for getting out of this Mexican restaurant? What happens if you drink more than one margarita?
I have, you know, those people in heavily involved in my life. And it gets to the point where you tune them out.
Right. And you're like, let's just enjoy the freedom that you fought for. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, let's enjoy life. But they can't help it. That's the way their brain works. But there's a way to do that naturally for yourself where you know what you will do if and when XYZ happens, and you have a plan. You've walked through it in your mind. It may take 2 minutes for you to do that when you get to a place, but you'll feel so much better for it. You'll be more prepared. You know, you've recognized where the exits are. How are you going to get to XYZ and do this? And there's only so much in your life you can control while still living your life. And so for me, it's just being prepared for the circumstances, being ready to act in those circumstances, but then also living my life.
So good. And I would like to sort of add to my initial like question. I talk about, I've got all these followers. I don't want them to know where. It doesn't matter if you have 5 followers or 500,000 followers. I think it's equally as important for everyone to sort of, you know, like you said, be very mindful of it. And I love that you said that about like, hey, sometimes when I'm in Utah, like it's pretty obvious I'm in Utah, which by the way, if someone decides to get at you while you're at Fieldcraft Survival, they obviously have not read the bios of the people involved in that, but I digress. I'm like thinking to myself, ooh, yikes. But yeah, I think it's equally as important for everyone to be, you know, aware. And Amber, it can be, we're talking a lot about safety and, you know, protecting ourselves. And sometimes it can be just the smallest things. For example, and I don't remember who it was, one of the influencers that I follow, maybe Natalie Kovrig, I don't know who it was, did a whole thing about, hey, do y'all have a first aid kit in your feed trucks? We've we're fifth generation ranchers. We've never had a first aid kit in a feed truck, like ever. And my mom, much to my family's chagrin, for Christmas, everybody got a first aid kit. And not only did she bring it to the ranch, but she put one in the gator and one in the, you know, whatever. And it's stuff like that that I think is a great way to start, right? A great way to start.
Absolutely.
Small. What other stuff like that can maybe, I got a lot of cowgirls, a lot of rural families. What other things can they do right now that's as easy as, you know, getting on Amazon and just buying a first aid kit? Is there anything else?
For sure. Yeah. Med is huge for us. And like I told you, I'm a registered nurse. And so med is what I speak to a lot. And we have fully loaded out vehicles. My kids have safety bags. And those are small wins, like you're saying. Like for my kids, if they have a Band-Aid and some saline and they can take care of their own wound, they're like, what else can we be prepared for? Med's huge. Communication, having alternate forms of communication is huge too, because, you know, I'm in a place here in Louisiana where, you know, after a natural disaster, we actually do lose infrastructure. Texas lost infrastructure this year. It's not something that you just talk about that never actually happens. That's only apocalyptic. It's a real thing. And having backup ways to communicate, even small term, when I say small term, short term, I mean like 2 weeks worth of food storage in your home or on your ranch, you know, especially if you're displaced from a town where you can get more supplies. We all learned this in COVID. Having backup supplies of food and ways to sustain yourself and procure water, or have water in your home. Like, these are all very basic things, but hugely impactful if and when you need. And for vehicles too, it's such little things like put a map in your car. Mm-hmm. Because if you lose service, Google Maps ain't helping you. And you need a physical map. Like, nobody carries that anymore. Everybody relies so much on technology that they forget how to do these basic things. Teach yourself a skill. Teach yourself how to jump your car battery if your battery were to go dead. You know, maybe even take it to the next level and get yourself one of those self-charging, I'm sure you had these on the farm, but battery boxes where you can jump your own battery and you don't have to wait for somebody else. And so it's always just figuring out how you can cut that umbilical cord and eliminate a middleman to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And like work backwards from your problems. I mean, you should see my car. There's a skin staple gun. There's super glue. There's a suturing kit.
You're
there's
ready.
Lidocaine. I mean, go ahead and hurt yourself in front of me. Okay.
I love that. And I'm not going to lie. When you were like, take it a step further, I thought, oh, she about to teach me how to hotwire a car. Here we go. I guess I'll start with the battery charger. Then you can teach me to hotwire a car later.
I mean, just get some jumper cables. And we'll call it a day.
Yeah. You know, little stuff. And I think if we all really step back and think about it, you know, it used to be that the person that had a month's worth of water in the shed and all this and an Atlas in the car and whatever, they were like the end of the world people that we kind of like the family member that we snicker at Christmas. But I'm telling you what, after last year, not only did we have COVID, I live in a major city that was heavily affected by riots. There was enough things going on. We survive all that. Then Texas has like the freeze of the decade. Mm-hmm. And a lot of farms and ranches around here run on wells, and they didn't work without electricity. And then they froze, and there wasn't water, not only for the humans, but for the animals. I think there was a lot of things that happened in the last year for so many of us that sort of makes now a better time than ever to adopt that mama bear mentality that you talk about, because we'd lived through a year that most of us in this country never thought we would see, you know, especially mm-hmm. in Texas. You know, we didn't have, there's people who still aren't in their homes after that freeze. You know, it's sort of like the mainstream media is not talking about it anymore because it's old news, but like, it was rough. And so I feel like now is just such a great time to sort of slowly start stepping into that mama bear mentality. And I want to talk a little bit about sort of what mama bear mentality, what does that mean to you? Because I loved when you messaged me, you said, by the way, you don't have to be a mama to adopt the mama bear mentality. And it's much like fancy lady cowgirl. You don't have to own a horse and a cowboy hat to be a fancy lady cowgirl. So what does mama bear mentality mean to you?
Yeah. So I love it. And it's the best way for me to explain what I do is to women. Think about the fierce protectiveness with which a mama bear lives out her lives. I mean, you do not go between a mama bear and her cubs, right? And so cubs in and of itself is just life. It's the joy of life. It's the preservation of life. And so the mama bear mindset is using our God-given strengths as women and what makes us distinctly different to preserve life and to help maintain and keep that joy of life, because life is incredible and it's so worth living, but we have to have people who care about it enough to hold that line and to say, you know what, I'm going to be the voice of reason. I'm going to be the person that looks out for my friends. I'm going to be the one who shows people that it's relevant to be prepared and how to do it in a way that I can still be a modern woman in this modern world, no matter where I live, but I'm showing people that I care. That I care about life, that I care about them, and that preparedness is for everybody, really. You know, find your vulnerabilities and face them head on. And you're going to be much better equipped to live out your life. You know, the rural lifestyle, you got to help brother out, you know, you got to depend on each other. And so you can't do that if you're not prepared, if you can't even take care of yourself. And that the preparedness lifestyle is, it's not primitive. It's not apocalyptic. You know, they're not the people in bunkers. I mean, obviously there's some people like that, but this is the way that our grandparents and great grandparents lived their lives. We've navigated away from that in the day of Amazon, when it's easier and it's more vogue to rely on other people to make things as convenient as possible. There is no convenience in not being able to take care of yourself. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, that is not convenient. It's a false prison of sorts, because you're losing all of your basic skill sets, and it just overflows into so much. You know, even my kids being able to start their own fires. I have friends in Texas who lived in a rural area who weren't used to rural life. This is the first time they've ever experienced a natural disaster of this magnitude, who had babies to take care of, and they couldn't even create fires to boil down ice and snow to get water, to make bottles, you know, like these are important basic skills and they're invaluable.
So good. Do you think, I'm listening to you talk and I want you to answer whether this is a correct assumption or an incorrect assumption. Maybe it's a dangerous assumption. Are we more likely to sort of adapt this mama bear mentality as females? Because I don't want to write the men who are listening off either. Are women more likely to sort of open arm and adapt and sort of welcome this sort of mentality in and learn? Because as females, and I know every single one of us listening can say, yep, I think about things like, oh, I want to go on a walk today, but I need to be back in my house by like probably 5 p.m. because I know the migration patterns of the people who, you know, live under the bridge that I have to cross. And I don't want to be out past dusk because like I'm absolutely not about to walk at night, even in this very safe, affluent neighborhood that I live in. I'm not going to be out on the sidewalk by myself at night. I need to go to Target, but I don't want to be in the parking lot at 8 p.m. at Target. So I'm going to wait and go the next morning. I think, especially living in a big city like I do, these are things that I think about daily. The gas station that I always go to, I do not want to be at that gas station at certain times mm-hmm. of the day. And I know that. So I plan ahead. Do you think women are, do they more easily adapt this sort of safety mentality? Do men have a harder time? What is your research and experience shown there?
Yeah, I absolutely think women do. And it's because of what I had said before with our ability to connect more to the human emotion and the human experience and understand it, but also because of the diversity between that angst and that anxiousness that women feel, it's much more prevalent than men, because statistically it's true. Women are more likely to be victimized than men, predator-wise. And this is what's been incredible about being part of the Fieldcraft team, is being able to bring this insight to them and say, you don't understand. There are women who are scared to leave their home with their children because they feel they're incapable of protecting them. There are women who will avoid going places with their children because of their fear of not being able to protect them. There are women without children who avoid places or stick within certain time frames or avoid certain locations, which is intelligent and intuitive. But at the same time, these are accommodations women are making to live a safe life that men don't necessarily consciously make, mm-hmm. that they don't even realize, that they don't even understand that there's this fear that exists. And it's a fear that needs to be honored, and it exists for a reason. And it's women who have seen the pattern of behavior who are making adaptations to protect themselves, right? It's just the way that we evolve as humans. And so the key has been stepping in the middle of that and saying, okay, no, we don't need to continue evolving in fear and avoidance. It's important to avoid. You wouldn't want to go to a riot, or you wouldn't want to put yourself in a place where you know there's going to be violence. But avoiding life in general, we don't have to do that. We can step into that place and we can offer a tool and a solution before it gets out of hand. And that's what we do with our women's empowerment classes, is we take people from complete fear and complete lack of knowledge about how to protect themselves, how their brain works, how to even hold a gun, what are the parts of the gun, how do I even aim the gun? And in a 4-hour block, we transition them into women who feel confident and who feel capable. And I think a lot of women believe that looking that beast head on, that fear and that truth, is going to cause more fear in their life, but that we have seen the complete opposite of that. And I can see that in my own children too, in their own lives, that addressing something and giving somebody the solution to it, it's completely opposite of creating anxiety and fear. It lessens it. It empowers you. It makes you believe you're capable. It makes you see that your life is worth defending and worth protecting, and you are capable of doing. We're not trying to instill fear. We're cultivating a spirit of self-defense and an acknowledgement that you're capable. You're fully capable of stepping into this life, of protecting yourself and still being amazing and modern and hip and all the things you want to be. And you can still live this fun life. You can still dance at your restaurant and do all the things you need to do. Like, you don't have to be that uptight tactical person who is just constantly thinking about how much water they have in their bunker and if they have enough food at home. You know, did I reorder the dry beans? Like, no, it's not that. Embrace the fact that being prepared and being a modern mama bear, it's totally on trend.
I interrupt this episode really quick. I have to go grab a cup of coffee, but not just any coffee. Oh no, here on the Cowgirl Problems podcast, the Fancy Lady Cowgirl only drinks, wait for it, Cowgirl coffee from my great friends over at Cattleman's Coffee. It is so tasty, y'all. Seriously, I always start my morning with a cup, and then I have one mid-morning, and then I have another in the afternoon. Dare I say it, it is buckin' delicious.
Be sure to use code FANCYLADYCOWGIRL for 20% off your first order at cattlemanscoffee.com. Wrangle in your morning.
Amber, this has just been so good. If people are listening and they're like, yes, I'm all in, I need to start learning more about this immediately, what is the best option? So Fieldcraft Survival, obviously, you talked about, you have classes, and I've read, you've got everything from self-defense to medical to training to all the things. So there's opportunities there, which I'd love for you to talk about. And also, I've just really enjoyed following your Instagram page, because you're sharing lots of really, tangible things that people can really start sort of incorporating into their daily lives immediately. So what are some ways that people can get involved right now?
Yeah. So we have, I feel Craft Survival, we have classes, we have courses every single weekend up in Utah at our headquarters. About once a month, we do some sort of women's self-defense course. They've been selling out like hotcakes, so that's been great. There's a need for it. And then for just basic pistol skills, like gunfighter skills, we have a team that travels all across the United States. So at fieldcraftsurvival.com, you can go to trainings and you can see all the trainings that we have that go on there. And then the online courses that I told you that we just launched, we have one available right now, and it's safe gun handling of a semi-automatic pistol. Super basic for somebody who's never picked up a gun before, and it's incredible. It's about an hour and a half long class that walks you through everything you need to know to be safe with a gun. In the initial stages of learning a firearm and how to realistically engage with it. And that is at wetheprepared.com is the name of our online courses. And then, yeah, just on Instagram, I try to do my best to make educational posts and to save it in highlights. And that's missms.amber.lelle.
Awesome. And I will share all of the links and the websites in the notes below. Amber, thank you so much for joining the Cowgirl Problems podcast. I hope that this is just the beginning of our friendship and all the cool things that we can do together. I'm already thinking of like my Fancy Lady Cowgirls. I'm like, man, we need a self-defense classes at the next event. We need survival preparedness. I'm like, oh yes, we're going to turn this into a full survival preparedness event. But Amber, this has been really cool. And I love what you're doing. It's totally Fancy Lady Cowgirl, making something that sometimes seems a little overwhelming, a little inaccessible to those of us who are not, trained in the military. You're making it accessible, and you're showing women that, we truly can do it all, and we can protect ourselves while we're doing it all. So thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. And thanks for letting me be a fancy lady cowgirl. Oh, I'm just so honored.
Yes, of course.